WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin at the White House, where officials are vehemently denying President Trump drew a lewd birthday note to Jeffrey Epstein 22 years ago. Justice Department correspondent Scott McFarland.
The message apparently bears the signature of President Trump and comes with an outline of what appears to be a naked woman. Democrats on the U.S. House Oversight Committee posted this image, saying it was President Trump's contribution to a 50th birthday gift book given to Jeffrey Epstein in 2003. Years before, Epstein was charged with sexually abusing a series of young women. The note references a wonderful secret.
The president says the note's a fake. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass is pushing back after the Supreme Court gave the Trump administration permission to ramp up ICE raids in L.A.
Will that same Supreme Court next decide that it's okay if we are separate but equal? That some can marry but others can't? That rights apply to some groups and not to others? That they will ignore precedent and do whatever the White House wishes?
It comes as the administration launches new immigration crackdowns in Democratic-run states of Illinois and Massachusetts. The head of the ousted head of the government agency that funds vaccine research is speaking out about Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy and his stance on childhood vaccination. CBS's Ed O'Keefe spoke with Dr. Gene Marazzo.
Is he qualified to be doing the job he's doing?
No.
Is he dangerous?
Yes.
Why?
He's dangerous because he ignores the evidence. And he appears to be driven by a desire to satisfy a need to tear things down.
Dr. Marazzo has filed a whistleblower complaint. The Israeli military has ordered residents of Gaza City to evacuate, as the IDF appears to be moving ahead with a full invasion. Correspondent Elizabeth Palmer.
Prime Minister Netanyahu warned Gazans to get out of Gaza City as the military prepares to step up its assaults from the air and on the ground unless Hamas gives up the remaining Israeli hostages and surrenders.
Experts say it's another sign of the dangers of too much screen time. New federal testing data show the reading skills of high school seniors have hit a 33-year low. Their math performance is the lowest since 2005. Americans weighing in on the Trump administration's push to clear out homeless encampments. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
A new AP NORC poll found that most U.S. adults think individual choices are to blame. And while the survey found fewer people point at the government for its lack of support, most also think it doesn't spend enough on those in need.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of the Brewers and Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0, but one bright spot was the return of Christian Yelich to the lineup. Yelich had missed the past five games with a bad back. Pat Murphy after the game.
Yeah, he's on it. It was a great day for him. Came up kind of empty, got one hit, but hit two other balls that, you know, they're homers in some parks.
NFL, the Packers host the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. I asked Micah Parsons how he was holding up after just a week to get ready for the Lions game.
Physically, obviously draining. That was like my first game of just constant snaps, repetition, things like that. So obviously I got to, you know, recover, do everything I need to do to get ready for Thursday. But emotionally, I couldn't be more happy, you know, to get my first win in Lambeau, having amazing fans. You know, I told J-Love that's our first one, and I can't wait to keep stacking them.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with Sports on. I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice looking September day once again with a mix of sun and clouds, a tad on the breezy side, high temperatures in the mid-70s. For tonight, a slow-moving front may generate a shower or a thunderstorm. Low temperatures in the mid-50s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Dan Schaefer tells us about the latest political headlines from Madison, while Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom has the update from D.C.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. A beautiful night in the state of Wisconsin. Hope you are recovering from your weekend and glad you could be with me as we discuss the things in life that make us happy, like movies and Rockers fundraiser, which we talked about last hour at the Crucible in Madison on the east side. Three big bands coming together. It is open to the public from 2 to 7, and the proceeds go to a good cause, Rocker's friend Big John, who had a leg amputated. So, like I said, when musicians come together for good causes, that is something worth checking out because they bring great music. And that is the Sunday. In just a few minutes, we will welcome Wendy Loeb. I talked to Wendy on the phone. It was like a Zoom thing about this event Saturday night at the Green Bay Film Festival at the Tarleton. And I never clarified how to say her last name. How would you say that? Lobel?
Yeah.
Wendy Lobel.
Yeah.
It looks like that, but then, you know, sometimes people have like more exotic.
Like Schwabba.
Like Conrad Krieger.
Krieger.
Pete Schwabba. No, there's no way to make Schwabba sound exciting. Exotic. All right, Wendy will be here at 7:20 talking about her film. She made this really cool documentary about the connection between comedy and anxiety, comedians and anxiety. And it's called The Anxiety Club. And she is premiering the film Saturday evening at 7 o'clock at the Tarleton Theater here in Green Bay. I'll be hosting a Q&A after the screening. And it's going to be just a really fun night over at the Tarleton. So if you're in the Green Bay area, stop by and say hello. Check out this really cool film. Meet Wendy. Say hello to me. You can shake my hand. Conrad, I'm going to shake hands with people.
I thought you hate shaking hands.
That's a big night. Well, for special occasions, it's worth it. I'm not an elitist.
Bring your hand sanitizer with you?
Every time I shake a hand, I do the old squirt-a-rooney. People get really upset. So that's Saturday night. Wendy will be here at 7:20. That will be fun to catch up with Wendy and learn more about her film. We talked about the death of Rick Davies a little bit with Rocker. I didn't realize that Roger Hodgson seems to have written more of the big Supertramp hits, but it's good to have a musician's perspective there. And our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite kind of beer? It's National Beer Day, and we are celebrating beer in the state that made beer famous. One of them, anyway. I thought I recalled that Milwaukee had more beer being brewed there than St. Louis. But I don't know if that's still true. I don't know what the beer capital is now, technically.
I would say Milwaukee's probably not anymore. They used to have, I don't think the Pabst is as it once was, because now it's mainly for tours.
They might not even brew it there anymore.
Yeah, either. I don't think they do.
At one point it was Schlitz, Miller, Pabst, all the big beers. But, you know, things changed. And I don't know. I know St. Louis has Budweiser and probably a few others. But either way, we're Wisconsin. We're known for beer. What is your favorite beer? We've got some great answers. We're going to get to some of your texts in just a few minutes. What else did we discuss, Conrad? We discussed lots of fun stuff.
We did discuss that Jacob's Best is the best beer.
What was the stream comment Dave said? I found Jacob Huckstein, $3.99 a case. My uncle loved it. Not very drinkable. That's not a quality you need in a beer. So we have also, Conrad and I disagree. I talked a little bit about Task. I watched the first episode on HBO. Very good show. Conrad told me last week he really liked The Paper, the new spinoff of The Office. And I watched the pilot and I told him during the break, I didn't really like it. I thought it was tired. It just didn't have a Steve Carell or a Rainn Wilson. I was looking at this show during the first episode, which there are a couple laughs, but it's based on, you know, a dying paper company, not paper company, a newspaper company. The Office was a paper company.
Yep.
And it's in Toledo and it's kind of this 5 or 6 person staff. It's just kind of tired and sad, which is the state of the newspaper industry. And I'm like, how are they going to get seasons out of this? Who's funny on this show? The woman,
Esmeralda.
Esmeralda's funny.
She's hilarious.
Yeah.
And you know, Oscar in the first episode is what brought me back to keep watching it.
Is he going
to
be a regular though?
Yeah.
Oh, he is. I thought he was a guest star.
Okay. He's the accountant.
Yeah. Like he was in The Office.
Yeah.
And he's transferred. He's still the same character.
And in the pilot, he's like, oh, not again.
Yeah. That was funny.
I don't want to talk to you. Stop following me.
It was funny, but it was like a retread. I'm like, it was good for a one-time laugh. You know what I did like was at the beginning how they said, they showed Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
And they talked about all the companies that have come and gone since Dunder Mifflin left. And in a weird way, I kind of got, not choked up, but I was like, oh, that's so sad. And they were talking to Bob Vance.
Yeah, Bob Vance.
Who's still there.
Vance Refrigeration.
But you said it gets better.
I do think the first episode's kind of slow.
Yeah.
You don't get the huge comedy aspect, but you just keep watching it. And the episodes get more funny as they go on. And the last episode is hilarious.
All right.
And Esmeralda, I would say, is probably the character that just brings you laughs every episode.
That's a curious choice to cast her. She was great in White Lotus, but she's in Toledo, and she's this Italian with this thick Italian accent. I'm like, how did she get there? And she was the boss, too.
Yes, and terrible one.
A terrible boss. And she was writing about the stuff we see on, like, Yahoo Entertainment News, like, who uses what fingernail polish. That's the headline in the Toledo newspaper now.
You know,
that was funny.
In like, the fourth episode, she brings one of those back. She's like, I think we should do this story. And it's horrible.
Okay. Well, I'll watch a couple more. I was not encouraged, though, because I'm like, you know, Steve Carell, Rainn Wilson, and then you bring in Ed Helms and BJ Novak, who at the time we didn't know it, but is a very good TV writer. It's going to be tough to top that.
I mean, those are some top tier, you know, actors. Yeah. And it's going to be tough. I mean, but at that time when The Office started, they weren't, probably some of them weren't.
Carell was. Big.
Yeah, Steve was.
And Rainn Wilson made a splash. Like that guy, to me, he was a little over the top, personally, because I'm jaded, but he jumped out at you as a comedic force, you know.
Yes.
Nobody did that on this.
Yeah. And, Jim's character is hilarious in that, too. And
right.
You know, they do have one character that kind of resembles Jim just a little bit.
The main guy seems like he resembles Jim.
Domhnall
Gleeson?
I'd say him and, I can't think of her name, the other lady.
The blonde?
Yes. She does some classic Jim looks in it.
Oh, interesting.
Looks so at the camera, you know, and yeah.
Okay. Our question of the night, folks, what is your favorite beer? Jim from Appleton in the 920 says, my favorite beer, Lady Luck from Carbon 4. All right, I have to admit, I'm not a huge beer drinker. I was always a spirits guy, so a lot of these beers I have not heard of. Are you familiar with this one, Conrad? Lady Luck?
I am not.
Great name for a beer. Thank you, Jim. You're giving us something to check out. This is like a information exchange we do with TV and movies, too. So if you're beer connoisseurs, I have every reason to believe that our listeners know their beer. In the 414, again, but probably Belican beer from Belize. Nice. That's Edward from the 414. Belican beer from Belize. Interesting. Never heard of it. Thank you very much, Edward. Steve, Conrad's dad from Florida, checking in. Tell Conrad a frosty mug with Spotted Cow. I'm a fan of Leinenkugel Summer Shandy in a very cold bottle and a Guinness off the tap. Thank you, Steve. Did you know that it's an art form pouring a Guinness?
Yeah.
They have to really like teach bartenders how to do that.
Yeah, and crazy. You know, I've seen people get mad that their Guinness is all foam.
They know their stuff, you know. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's got a 608 area code. The beer that made Milwaukee famous in a frosty mug. Cheers, burp. Tyler spelled out burp. Thank you, Tyler. Barb from Waukesha says, love Modelo. I don't care for Corona at all. Too bitter. Interesting. You know, I always thought Corona was like a lighter, not like Spotted Cow has kind of a fruit taste to it almost at times. I thought like Corona was not like that, but it was just light. I don't equate Corona with bitterness, but I guess yeah, I could see that.
It is pretty light. I'll say that yeah. Corona compared to Modelo.
Thank you, Barb. John from Madison in the 608 says, hi, Peter and Caleb.
Yeah.
No respect.
Yeah.
Conrad, buddy. John knows that. I'm sure it was a typo. Stella Artois. Am I saying that right? Artois.
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 I don't know.
It's Artois. And Berghoff Bach. I feel like some of these people could be messing with me, just giving me beer names. I'm just going to read them because I'm not a beer connoisseur. But both are simply delicious if you are a beer lover with a decent palate for variety. Price is right for the Berghoff product. Both are slightly filling and full-bodied, so a sizer is perfect. I don't even know what a sizer is. Is it like a measuring thing?
I
like
think that's a smaller
A little bit, yeah, yeah, okay. All right.
Oh, he auto-corrected saying sixer.
Okay, sixer. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's a... And I'm so glad I didn't just like go along with it and pretend I knew. Oh yeah, a sizer. You got to have a sizer with a beer.
Every time you go into a bar, you're like, yeah, let me get a sizer.
Yeah, bring it. Make sure I have a sizer on the side so I know. Monica from Mount Horeb in the 608 says, I don't like beer that tastes like beer. So New Glarus, Raspberry Tart, and similar sours are the only beer I drink despite being from Wisconsin. Monica, you and I are kindred spirits. I'm not a huge beer person either, but I do like when they get a little crazy. I like New Glarus, too. I like what they do down there. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite beer is a spotted... Conrad? Spotted?
Cow.
Cow, right.
Yum.
That's probably our winner tonight, right, so far?
I would say.
It's a homegrown beer, much like Miller was. Spotted Cow is like the Miller of 50 years ago, maybe? John Murray says, yeah, back to calling you Caleb. Sorry, Conrad.
Yeah, you know, I think you might already had a sixer.
Yeah.
That's why he called me.
John polishes off a sixer every show, doesn't he? By the end of the week, he has 30 cans of beer. No, that would be 36 cans. No, 5 times 6 is 30. Woo! How far away from a commercial are we?
Yeah.
414, maybe this is Edward again, says Jacob Best, born in Germany, died in Milwaukee, founded what would later become Pabst. So he had Jacob's Best, and then he discovered then he created Pabst. Am I getting that right?
That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Doing my best here, folks. Thanks for sticking with me. Mike from Cottage Grove, the 608 says Stella Artois. Wow, Stella's coming up on the left of Spotted Cow. Look at this. Oh, Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete, a delicious beer that brings back memories for me is Edmund Fitzgerald, a beer brewed in Ohio. That's interesting. I drank it after playing golf in a UW Tuesday evening golf league at the Glenway Golf Course at Madison. I always just had one. Please drink responsibly. Sipping a cold Edmund Fitzgerald on the clubhouse patio while swapping golf stories with the guys sure tasted good. Steady Eddie. It's a great text. He said, Conrad, he added a postscript.
Yes.
And he says the Edmund Fitzgerald sank 50 years ago, November 10, 1975. The legend lives on. Well said, Steady Eddie. I would think you'd talk about shipping or shipwrecks while you're drinking an Edmund Fitzgerald, but hey. I don't want to tell you how to live your life. Nick from Marshall in the 608 says, Red Stripe, straight from the yard, Jamaica. I have never had a Red Stripe.
I haven't either.
There was a time in the 80s or 90s where everybody was drinking Red Stripe. Like it was getting out of hand. And I think John Grisham used to put characters in his books, used to drink Red Stripe. When they were like in the, Jamaica probably. Sydney from Oregon says, my favorite beer is huge ass. He's messing with me. I caught that one, though.
It might actually be a beer.
It could actually be
a
beer.
I'll look it up during the break.
But he could be messing with me, too. Craig Kinnett says, Pete, one of my favorites is Newcastle from England. So good. Keep those texts coming, folks. We will read them throughout the show. Coming up next, filmmaker Wendy Lobel will be here to talk about her documentary, The Anxiety Club. Fun film. We're going to tell you all about it coming up next. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba, Conrad Krieger, working the board tonight as we barrel through this Monday night. Finally back on the air after a long, arduous weekend of not being on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guest we haven't had on before. If you're in or around the Green Bay area this weekend, there's a film at the Green Bay Film Festival you might be interested in checking out. It's called The Anxiety Club. And joining me now to discuss this great film is the film's director and the Emmy Award-winning Wendy Lobel. Wendy, welcome. Oh, I think she's muted, Con. You might be muted, Wendy. We can't hear. We can see Wendy, but we can't hear Wendy. If you're watching on the stream, we will get this figured out momentarily. Sydney says, best beer for sure is Phil McCracken. Now I know he's messing with me. And he says, okay, I'm done. Thank you, Sydney. Hey, I think we have Wendy now. Wendy, are you there? No, we got teased again. Con, let's figure this out. Conrad is on it. He's going to run to the car and get the tools. We will not keep you waiting too much longer, folks. Wendy Lobel is here, and I can ask her if I'm saying her last name properly. Because as a guy named Schwabba, I get where people could mispronounce even a name that looks like it should be easy to pronounce. We'll figure all that out, and we'll talk about the Anxiety Club as soon as we get things figured out here with our guest, Wendy Lobel. So the Green Bay Film Festival is this great festival, and they do things a little differently. They don't have like a full week-long lineup of just movies start to finish. They break it up into separate weekends. They do something about every 3 months, kind of a different format. And Wendy's film, The Anxiety Club, will be playing there this Saturday night at 7 o'clock. I'm introducing the film, and I'm going to host a Q&A that Wendy will stick around for. We'll discuss the film, and she's even brought in a team of mental health experts. So we're going to break down a little bit the comedy in the film, the comedians, and how they deal with angst. It's going to be a really fun night. And she's gone above and beyond to have this great discussion following the movie. So stick around for that. And I assume they still have tickets left. We'll ask Wendy that as well. But that is this Saturday night in Green Bay. So our question of the night, folks, you still have time to get in on the fun, if you like, is what is your favorite beer? Mike from Cottage Grove chimes in again. He answered earlier, but he says, my second fave is Modelo. I'm telling you, Mike, I'm with you. I want to try a Modelo based on the commercials alone. Sometimes a commercial can really sell its product, and it does that with me with Modelo. Just these dudes hanging out, that great music. I will try Modelo one of these days. Tomorrow night, folks, a night late, we have another great show. Frank Hermans, Green Bay legend, Frank Hermans will be here to talk about his new show. He's going to be in studio. We'll have Frank for a couple segments. I don't know if he'll perform or not, but he will be here in the flesh. And Frank is always a blast. And then we've got more fun tomorrow night too, because we have a jam-packed show actually tomorrow night, because Sean Hanisch, the director of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, will be here at 7:05 because he has big news about his film. And Sean reached out over the weekend, and I thought, we got to share this because it's great stuff. And then from the Green Bay Film Festival, Nick Wattier will be here. He's been in studio several times before, and Nick is always fun to talk to. So he will give us the straight dope on a lot of what it will be happening at the Green Bay Film Festival over the next weekend. So how are we doing with Wendy, Con? Any luck?
Just need to get her phone number.
Okay. We'll switch this to phone. She can stay on the stream. If you're watching on the stream, you'll still be able to see Wendy, but we'll talk to her on the phone. That'll work.
Yeah, Wendy, if you could see the stream, I sent you a chat. Just send the phone number in there, and I'll give you a call.
It's very frustrating because we have Wendy, but we don't have Wendy. And she's joining us all the way from New York. Wendy was on a show, and I'm going to ask her about this too. She's had a long, like I said, she's an Emmy winner, and I want to say she won her Emmy for Nick News. Do you remember that show, Con?
Nick News.
It was news geared toward kids that was on Nickelodeon. And she had like a 15-year run there. So I'm going to ask her about that as well.
It sounds familiar.
I still get all my news from Nick News. That's why I have trouble arguing politics sometimes, because all my news comes from Nick News. Yeah, lots going on this week, folks. We've got a fun show tomorrow. Then our pal Heather Heil will be in studio. We're going to give Heather a quiz. What did I say the quiz was going to be on? We're going to give Heather
John
Candy quiz. Yes, that's John on Wednesday with Heather. She does great with our quizzes. And then the writer of The Threesome, a movie we talked about last week, Ethan Ogilvy will be here. He wrote this great script that they made into a movie, and they crushed it. It was well directed. Zoe Deutsch plays the lead. Ethan was on the show last April, right before their screening at the Wisconsin Film Festival, and he will be joining us Wednesday night to talk about this theatrical release. That does not happen all the time. This independent film that they shot did so well at festivals, somebody snatched it up and they're putting it in theaters. And then Terry Barr will be here on Thursday to make the popcorn pick of the week, because I will not be here Friday. And then Al Petrelli, that'll be fun, Con. Al's a great guest from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
He was on the show last year around this time too, and just his description of these Christmas shows that they do.
Oh man.
It just sounds awesome.
It's like spectacular. It's like a spectacle. So there you go. But our question of the night, folks, if you want to get in on the fun, is what is your favorite kind of beer? That's what we're talking about tonight. And that is our question of the night. And, do we have time to play that clip? The Bob Odenkirk one? No, we might be cutting it close.
Yeah.
We got a minute.
Yeah.
All right. We got to do the news. We'll get things squared away with Wendy. I can see her smiling face right now. She's with us, but she's not with us. She's here in spirit. We'll figure it out. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're coming back after Civic Media's news team keeps you informed. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. And your readers who can swear.
Tell you that she wants me back, tell her no.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
CBS News Brief. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill have released a sexually suggestive birthday letter to Jeffrey Epstein that they claim was written and signed by President Trump. He calls it a fake. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
In late August, the House Oversight Committee subpoenaed some of these records to include the birthday book shared with Jeffrey Epstein. Those subpoenas were provided to the committee, according to Democrats.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass is speaking out after the Supreme Court gave the Trump administration the green light to step up ICE raids in L.A.
This isn't just an attack on the people of Los Angeles. This is an attack on every person in this city and in every city in our country.
Dr. Gene Marazzo, a top scientist at the NIH, ousted after clashing with officials over Health Secretary Kennedy's vaccine policy, has filed a whistleblower complaint.
Ultimately, we were disregarded. We became inconvenient.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of the Brewers and Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0, but one bright spot was the return of Christian Yelich to the lineup. Yelich had missed the past five games with a bad back. Pat Murphy after the game.
Yeah, he's on it. It was great. Great day for him. Came up kind of empty. Got one hit, but he hit two other balls that, you know, they're homers in some parks.
NFL, the Packers host the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. I asked Micah Parsons how he was holding up after just a week to get ready for the Lions game.
Physically, obviously draining. That was like my first game of just constant snaps, repetition, things like that. So obviously I got to, you know, recover, do everything I need to do to get ready for Thursday. But emotionally, I couldn't be more happy, you know, to get my first win in Lambeau, having amazing fans. You know, I told J-Love that's our first one, and I can't wait to keep stacking them.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with Sports on. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a documentary that will make your life look pretty boring, check out AKA Charlie Sheen, a new doc that drops on Netflix this week. The Inside Look is a two-parter that explores his three marriages, movie career where his credits include Platoon, Wall Street, and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and the hit sitcom Two and a Half Men. The 60-year-old Sheen also talks about his various addictions, mental health breakdown in 2011, where he claims to have had tiger blood, and is firing from Two and a Half Men for drug use. And Sheen is well aware that anytime you self-promote with a new movie or book, you do need spicy new material. So the actor is now saying he has also had sex with lots of men, and it all started when he was smoking crack. I tip my hat to the producers who somehow managed to cram all that into just two parts. AKA Charlie Sheen drops September 10th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A nice looking September day once again with a mix of sun and clouds, a tad on the breezy side. High temperatures in the mid-70s. For tonight, a slow-moving front may generate a shower or a thunderstorm. Low temperatures in the mid-50s. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you
can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, we talk with the indomitable Stacey Abrams about how to build the big tent for Democrats in 2026 to return this country to the hands of working people. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight on this beautiful Monday night here in the state of Wisconsin as we broadcast statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Green Bay, the site of the screening of my next guest's movie here at the Green Bay Film Festival this Saturday. I believe we have everything ironed out now, so it is my pleasure to welcome Wendy LaBelle. How are you, Wendy?
Hi, I'm good, Pete. How are you?
I'm well. Am I saying your last name properly?
Yes, now you are. It's LaBelle. LaBelle. And you said it right just then, so okay. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Excellent. Yes, well, carrying the name Schwab in my whole life, I've had my woes when it comes to people pronouncing my name, so I'm very sensitive to that. It is great to have you here. We are looking forward to having you here right down the street at the Tarleton on Saturday night. Let's talk about that and get right into the screening. Tell us a little bit about the Anxiety Club.
Well, Anxiety Club is a documentary, as you know, and it's funny and it's heartfelt. It's about the experience of anxiety through the eyes of comedians. And there are seven comedians, including one who we followed through exposure therapy, which is an evidence-based treatment for anxiety. And it's a pretty bold move for people who do it, but it can be very effective. And so it's really, it's looking at the universal experience of anxiety, but using comedians to talk about it, you know, to talk about a serious subject. So it's pretty funny. It's pretty touching.
Yeah.
It's,
I have to tell you, I was, I don't know if I mentioned this the other day on the call. In the 90s, I was a comedian. I toured all over for only for like 8 years, not for very long. And I kind of switched to writing, but my favorite comics and my best friends were always the comics who were a little angst ridden. Not the guys who couldn't wait to get up on stage and go, look at me. Yeah. It was people that had to overcome something, or they were a little bit neurotic, because I find that you can mine great comedy out of those little quirks. Did you find that making this movie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, on one hand, the anxiety that the comedians experience is similar to what anyone with anxiety might experience. But what's unique about the comedians is that they're spending their days and nights, you know, introspective, thinking about their mental health, thinking about, you know, how they see the world from their perspective. It's, you know, they use it as fodder for their material. And yeah. I think it's helpful to them. It's not a cure. It's not therapy, but it's a way that they're able to kind of work out some of the things that they're feeling. And it's just good for the rest of us, because we get to, you know, feel less alone and see ourselves through their eyes. And I don't know, it wasn't the initial plan for the film. The original plan was going to be doing a film about regular people, you know, like me, with anxiety. and it evolved into comedians. And it's just been really resonating with people, because it's very accessible and relatable. And the comedians are hilarious and vulnerable. So I feel very lucky that it all worked out as it did.
That's really interesting. How did that happen? How, what made you kind of switch gears and go and add the comedians to this?
You know, it was a long process of looking for the right people. And at a certain point, my husband, who is very into comedy, you know, he said, why don't you maybe include a comedian or an actor or like a compelling host? You know, kind of like a Michael Moore type of a thing. And I started looking into comedians, and it was at that point, you know, it was really no turning back, because, you know, finding these comedians who were not only funny, but they were doing material, sketch comedy or stand-up comedy about their anxiety. And it just was a really great way to illustrate what the experience of anxiety is. So it just kind of worked. And so it's, And I think, you know, when I think about had I done the original, you know, the original concept, it would have been much more boring. It would have been a completely different kind of a film. And I think, you know, anxiety is tough. It's people who have anxiety. I have anxiety. I've struggled with it for most of my adult life. It's, you know, it's not fun. And I think when you see people who have anxiety and who are putting it out there to the world in a really funny way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just really kind of helpful. So
this is interesting that you're doing this. I have another question about the comedy, but I find it interesting. After the film, you're going to take part in a Q&A. I'll be there hosting it. And then you have members of the AT&T Center here in Green Bay joining you to talk about mental health and comedy.
Yeah.
Interesting. What made you decide to make them part of the post-film get-together, well, so to speak?
I really can't take any credit for that because it was the film festival that reached out to me and told me that they wanted to incorporate some psychologists who were local. And I was like, great. I mean, it just makes it that much more interesting for a panel, to participate in a panel when, you know, there's me, the filmmaker, but being able to have these other people on the panel, for a Q&A, it's just a great idea. And I met them on Zoom for the first time the other day, and they're great. And they, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. I mean, there's one woman who does the same kind of anxiety, the same kind of therapy, the exposure therapy that we feature in the film. And there are other kinds of therapy that they practice at this center. And four of the psychologists from the center will be at the festival.
Wow.
So I think it should be great. And I think it'll be an opportunity for people not only to learn more about the filmmaking process, but to learn more about their own anxiety and to be able to ask questions about, you know, their own struggles and hear from professionals. I think I'm excited about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. My guest is Wendy Lobel. She is the director of the Anxiety Club, which you can see here at the Green Bay Film Festival this Saturday night, September 13th at 7:00. I will be there hosting a Q&A. Wendy will be on site, so to speak, as well as a team of therapists to answer all of our questions. Wendy, you said, it was interesting. You said when you switched and you kind of found direction with comedians, one of my questions was, I write all these intros for PBS Wisconsin and a POV and Independent Lens, and I've seen so many documentaries. It's hard to get people to talk on camera. Once you do, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be interesting.
Yeah.
When you decided to use comedians, and maybe not even with this documentary, but how do you get your subjects in a documentary so they're just not talking heads? Like in a narrative, you explain the character on a piece of paper, on the script. How do you do that as a documentary filmmaker? That must be a huge challenge.
Meaning to get them to
get them to be entertaining. Yeah, to give us some character background and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, I knew that these people were going to be interesting because I watched a lot of their stand-up or sketch videos. I listened to some interviews with them. I talked to them on the phone or on Zoom. So I had a sense that they were going to be interesting. But you never know how vulnerable a subject will be when you're sitting there and there's a camera in front of them and, you know, they're being asked very personal questions. I think, you know, in the case of this film, they all knew that I could relate to the experience of anxiety. So they were talking to somebody who experienced some of the same things that they have. Yeah. So that right off the bat, I think, was helpful. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's just like you sit down and you start having a conversation. And after a little bit of time, you just go into a different zone, or you hope that that's what happens. And I feel like it did. I mean, the interviews were probably about 90 minutes each. So it's long enough to dive in a bit. And, you know, they also knew, I told them all, like, if there's anything that they don't want to talk about, it's fine. It's up to them. They're steering the ship. But, you know, I'm not afraid to ask hard questions and see what happens. And they just, I don't know. They were all really great. And I think just, in, you know, I've done so many interviews over the course of my career. I was in television for a long time. As you know, you mentioned Nick News. I don't know, did you used to watch Nick News?
I remember it. I kind of made the joke that that's where I still get all my hard-hitting news from, and that's why I can't talk politics. But I want to ask you about that later, too. But you have some star power kind of in this documentary, at least in the comedy world. Mark Maron. How did you get Mark Maron? And he's got to be, man, when I saw that he was in this film, I'm like, he's the perfect guest or subject, it seems like, for, yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I felt like, you know, he was one of the comedians that obviously I knew of him. I followed him. And so I was really determined to get him because he's like the poster child for, you know, an anxious comedian. And so I met him at an event. And I asked if I could speak to, you know, get in touch. I told him about the film and he seemed interested. And I asked him if I can get in touch with his manager. And I did. And it took a little bit of time. It was a little bit of a back forth. But eventually it happened. And I went to his office, not the garage where he did his
podcast
interviews for WTF. It was a nice office. And you know, I had him for about an hour and a half and he was great. He had a cold that day. So he was a real trooper and he plays such an important role in the film. There's just like a certain wisdom that he has and that really came across, and he's very different from the other comedians.
Well, it's got to be interesting too, because just recently he's been going after Bill Maher and kind of calling him a fraud and trying to stay relevant. So Mark Maron has put himself back out there a little bit too. As a filmmaker with Mark in your film, you must love that, right?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny that because you just never know who is. I mean, I feel like I've been pretty lucky so far that, you know, nobody's been canceled or haven't been any nightmares. You don't know. I mean, there have been some, you know, one of the characters got divorced during the edit process and, so that was a little, you know, I'm such a people pleaser. I was like, oh no, how are we going to, you know, I want to make sure that she wasn't going to be upset. He's still going to be in there. But of course we had to keep going. And, right. So other than that, that's all worked out. But I trust that Mark Maron, he's going to get himself into trouble, but he has a way of getting out of it as well.
Right. We have about a minute before we have to do a break, and then we'll do a short break, and I'll keep you for a couple more minutes before we let you go. But with about a minute left, I want to ask you, what did you learn, A, about comedy doing this, and B, about mental health while making this film?
Well, I mean, one thing I've learned about comedy, I mean, it's kind of related to the anxiety, because, you know, there are so many people who are surprised, shocked even, that these comedians have anxiety and they're able to go on stage and be in front of all these people doing comedy. But, you know, what was surprising is that many of them feel most comfortable on stage. You know, they feel more comfortable on stage than they do off stage, you know, talking to fans. So I think that was one thing that was really interesting. I think also, you know, I'm sure there are some people who think that, you know, if you go up there and you talk about your mental health, you're going to be fine and that's your therapy, but that's not the case. I know you have to take a break. So
yeah, we can pick up there on the other side of the break. That's great. And maybe, folks, I'll even ask Wendy what her favorite kind of beer is. That's all coming up next. We'll have a couple more minutes with our guest, Wendy, and we'll tell you all about her screening, too, here in Green Bay this Saturday night. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Utah voters are back on a path to fair maps as a state circuit court judge ruled congressional districts must be redrawn by September 25th. The state Supreme Court ruled last summer that the legislature's attempt at circumventing a citizen-led independent redistricting commission by passing contrary state statutes was unconstitutional.
In 2018, Utah voters approved Better Boundaries Proposition 4, establishing a commission independent from the legislature charged with creating fair, communities of interest-driven maps for Congress, state legislature, and school districts. Ignoring the voters, the GOP-dominated legislature passed laws to make the commission advisory instead of independent, and gerrymandered the maps anyway. When the state Supreme Court ruled the legislature couldn't overrule voters, lawmakers proposed Amendment D to give it that authority. Its language was later ruled deceptive. August 25th, 3rd District Court Judge Diana Gibson ordered the legislature to create congressional districts by September 25th, using the Fair Maps criteria as approved by the voters to be reviewed by the court November 10th. The Utah News-Dispatch reports that Utah's GOP leadership will begrudgingly comply with the court's order. The maps will be in place for the 2026 midterms. We have the judge's order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. We're on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, Frank Hermans, the legendary Frank Hermans, will be here in studio talking about his new show. Sean Hannish joins me to talk about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside. There is new news, and Nick Wattier from the Green Bay Film Festival will be here, which is a perfect segue to our current guest, Wendy Lobel, who is here. She is the director of the film The Anxiety Club, which makes its premiere, Wisconsin premiere anyway. Have you played other festivals with the film so far?
Yeah. It's screened at about 18 festivals.
Oh, wow.
So far.
Oh, good
yes.
for you, Wendy.
Thank you.
That's outstanding. Yeah. So you were talking about what you learned about comedy and mental health while making this film. Please finish.
Yeah. So, I mean, so one of the things about comedians is that, you know, it's not therapy, you know, doing stand-up is not therapy. So I think it's a way of like working things out, but then, you know, they get off stage and their anxiety, and they might have like a little reprieve from their anxiety, but then, you know, it comes back and, you know, they're all in some form of therapy either currently or were before or doing other, you know, using other tools. So, I mean, that was something that's maybe not so surprising. I think for me personally, I think one of the interesting things I learned about, anxiety is that it's not like with treatment you can be expected to not have any anxious thoughts anymore. It's like you're going to have the thoughts. It's more a matter of how do you respond to them. And if you respond in, you know, maladaptive ways, if you avoid things and if you're people pleasing and if you over research and if you say you're sorry all the time, or, you know, there are all these kinds of things that we do so that we don't feel our feelings. And so it's very much about I think, in my opinion, it's about going toward, you know, not being afraid of the feelings, going towards them, interrupting the ruminating thoughts that many people with anxiety get. But again, it's not that you're going to stop having those thoughts. It's a matter of what you do with them.
So what do you do after you do this, like, scientific deep dive into mental health and comedy and the connection? Like, what do you do next, Wendy?
Well, I am planning to live in this world for a while, okay. Meaning that, you know, we're doing a long distribution process, and we're doing, you know, we still have quite a few festivals. We're doing a lot of screening events, like community screenings at mental health organizations, comedy festivals, colleges and universities. So that's something that's going to last for a long time. It's a slow, methodical rollout, and I plan to be a part of that and try to bring the film to the audiences that need it most. And at some point, you know, I'll start thinking about another project. But right now, I'm as busy as I was when I was making the film.
Oh, that's great.
It's really fun, and it's exciting.
Do you have, before we get into Nick News, do you have a favorite beer?
That's funny. I'm not a big beer drinker. I mean, I would say that if I had to pick one, it would be Blue Moon, but I think it's just because of the orange slice.
Same.
I'm more of a, you know, hard cider person, or, you know, rosé, or maybe a little bourbon here and there.
It's champagne coolies all the way with me, but I'm with you on the Blue Moon. I love a Blue Moon, a little orange. So you won an Emmy for Nick News. You worked with Linda Ellerbe. What a great run to have that kind of run. In show business is incredible. How did you go from there? What do you miss more, or what invigorates you more? I should say, the daily grind of a TV show, or trying to make a documentary to get it out there.
Oh gosh. I mean, it's just like, it really is like apples and oranges. I mean, I was so lucky to have that job and to work with Linda Ellerbe for all these years. The show Nick News was an amazing show. We were interviewing kids all the time about, you know, doing these shows about really important topics. Sometimes they were serious, sometimes they were fun. So that was amazing. I never felt like it was a grind, because it's not like it was a daily news show. You know, it was like we were doing, you know, an episode a month, essentially. I wasn't, you know, and there were other people, there were several people on the team. So it was great. I just loved that. And then she retired. And the show, I mean, it's still on the air in a different form, but, you know, I was working for her production company, and we knew well in advance that she was going to be retiring, and that was going to be it for Lucky Duck Productions. And so, you know, making a documentary was something I really wanted to do. And I had done an episode for Nick News on kids with anxiety. And so that was really how it all began. You know, when I had done that, and I had filmed with kids who were really struggling, and it just kind of came out of that experience.
Wendy LaBelle, it's been great meeting you. I'm glad we got our tech problems figured out. I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person Saturday night and seeing your amazing film. And it's going to be a great night. Looking forward to the Q&A as well. So break a leg this weekend, and we'll talk then.
Thanks. We'll see you soon.
All right. Appreciate it. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. That's Wendy LaBelle. Check out at the Tarleton Theater this Saturday night, folks, The Anxiety Club. Very excited to see this movie and to meet Wendy. Great work, and no small task winning an Emmy in the world of TV. That's pretty good stuff. What do we miss something, Conrad? I know we break our share of news here too. You know, I mean, we got people rely on us to get the big stories out there. Like, is David Hasselhoff making a comeback or not?
We do got a couple texts to read.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Well, we can't miss those. Rachel from Milwaukee, she says, how about some NA beer representation? Lagunitas?
I don't know how to say that, but those are really good.
Hoppy refresher, anyone?
Yeah, those are great.
Way to represent, Rachel. And I agree. And Blue Moon Non-Alcoholic is my beer these days, so I'm totally with you. But thank you for weighing in. I really appreciate the text. And Bridget, our pal Bridget from the 818, says Leinenkugel Summer Shandy, a great, classic, refreshing summer beer. Boy,
so
Blue
good.
Moon, Leinenkugel, Spotted Cow. We definitely have our favorites here in Wisconsin. Hey, we're coming back tomorrow night to do all this again, folks. Thanks to Rocker. Thanks to Wendy LaBelle. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab saying good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The image of what House Democrats say is a crude note President Trump wrote to a child sex offender is now public. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The signature Donald appears at the bottom of a message to Jeffrey Epstein, referencing a wonderful secret within a scrawled outline of a naked female form.
The president is once again denying he wrote that note or drew the picture. The Supreme Court's given the Trump administration the go-ahead to step up ICE raids in Los Angeles. Chandra Bhatnagar heads Southern California's ACLU.
We cannot accept a society where people are treated this way because of how they look.
A new study in The Lancet on people with diabetes. Researcher Lauren Stafford at the University of Washington.
The U.S. is doing okay in diagnosing people with diabetes. It's definitely more than the 50% average for the world. Globally, about 90% of those diagnosed with diabetes are on some kind of pharmacological treatment.
CBS News.